to the Confidence Conversation podcast with me, Joy Burnford. This show explores the world of women, work, and what it takes to feel more confident. Each episode offers inspiration, stories, and light-hearted conversations with amazing women and experts from around the world. A lack of confidence is not a crime, so if you need some motivation, inspiration, or a boost of confidence, grab a cuppa, go for a dog walk, or escape for a drive, and join us for today's conversation about confidence. And I'd like to say a big thank you to Karen Skidmore, Business Life and Leadership, for sponsoring our second season. Karen and her team are on a mission to put a stop to midlife burnout by helping women to create a new rhythm and flow to their professional lives. I'm so excited that they're offering you a free, easy-to-follow energy tracker to help you see how your monthly cycle contributes to your productivity levels. It certainly opened my eyes, and I'm now much more aware of how I can plan and manage my months in a happier and more productive way. Download the tracker today at karenskidmore.com/theconfidenceconversation. Our focus for this season is fitting life and work together, and I'll be talking to some incredible women about their careers, work, family, and how they juggle everything life throws at us. I'm delighted to welcome Dani Portsmouth as my guest today. Dani is Vice President of Human Resources at PepsiCo and has held a variety of strategic leadership roles and led management teams throughout her career, and is also about to embark on a new role in the States. Today, we'll be talking about how she found working during the pandemic and sharing the domestic load. Good morning, Dani, and welcome to the Confidence Conversation.
Thank you very much, Joy. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. The theme for season two is all about fitting life and work together. So I'd love to chat to you today about your career and family, how you found the last 12 months. And also, I know you've got a new exciting move to the US approaching. So I thought we could talk a little bit about that and how you're going to manage sort of fitting that in with your home life as well. And then we might look to the future and see what it looks like for women in the workplace.
Sounds great.
So perhaps first, let's look at the last 12 months and working during the pandemic, which has been a bit crazy for all of us. How have you managed to fit life, family, and your busy work life together?
Yeah, I think the summary is I've got better at it. So our family, so I live at home with my husband and our son, who just turned 8 in April. So at the beginning of pandemic was 6 and had his first birthday in lockdown, managed to have his next birthday, at least with a small party. Yeah. So that was good. Yeah. Right at the beginning, like everybody else, you know, Leo's school was closed. Mm-hmm. So he was here at home with us. Now, Andrew and I were both fortunate enough to be able to work from home, and so we weren't needing to juggle that. However, you know, my role requires a lot of attention to our COVID task force. And in the UK, we have a population of about 4,500 people. About 3,500 of those were not able to work from home, so had to continue going to work every day, whether that was in a manufacturing site or whether it was out in the field with our customers. And so my hours in the beginning were very long, facing into things I had no idea what I was doing with. For example, setting up safety controls, understanding the different requirements and guidelines coming out from the government, which seemed at one point to be updated every day. And at the same time, my husband was working and Leo was here homeschooling. So we were also very fortunate that Leo's school had already started a transition to Teams. They were already setting the second half of the junior school up for that. So they were ready to go, which was fantastic and just very fortuitous. Mm-hmm. But convincing a 6-year-old
to sit on their bottom,
Zoom all day is very challenging. And I think the other thing is Leo is an only child. And so he is used to, when we're at home with him, we're fair game. We're there for playing with. And, you know, in the beginning, I was working maybe 16, 17 hour days.
And it's
so
not
that
like
wasn't
even,
really possible.
No, I mean, some people at least could sort of take a step back potentially from work. But if you're having to then step up as well and juggle, I basically just stopped as much as I could working because I just thought, I'm going to literally, you know, burn out if I have to keep doing this. And I guess a lot of women in particular have probably suffered.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, I'm very lucky that Andrew had my job involves meetings pretty much all day. Andrew's job didn't, so he did have a bit more flexibility to be with Leo, or at least try and do the work first thing in the morning so that it was done, and then Leo could be
on screen
free running around.
We did a lot of screen time, unfortunately, when we were doing the whole feeling like a really rubbish mother.
That came with it. And I think what was great about that time, though, is that certainly in our HR team, we spent a lot of time together talking about that. And so though we had that guilt, we had it together. Yeah. And I think that was really important.
And do you think sort of doing that whole working remotely, did it affect your confidence in any way? And how did you deal with that?
I don't think it affected my confidence. It definitely affected my resilience. And that meant that I did things that surprised me. So I would be on a call and get very cross, and very emotional. And I remember one particular meeting with our UK exec and being the only one that had the different view, and that leading to me having to turn my camera off because I got so upset. And I was like, well, I can't cry in front of these guys, so just turn my camera off. And I stayed angry, which is unlike me, for about 8 hours. So even when my boss phoned me that night, I was so cross I couldn't even answer the phone. And that doesn't really happen to me in normal life. Like, I'm normally much more able to let go of things, or shrug it off. And that was very challenging. And I said to I remember saying to my husband, I'm standing in the kitchen saying, how am I ever going to go back to work if I'm just going to be crying all the time? Like, I couldn't just walk out of the meeting room. And, he's an engineer, so he's just not really into these deep and meaningful conversations that often. But on this particular day, he was like, well, if you did feel like that, would it be the end of the world if you got up and walked out of the meeting room? Probably not, as long as you're not stomping your feet as you go. And it just helped kind of take the, we laughed about it, and it just helped take the air out the bubble, if you like. Yeah. But yeah, I've had a few occasions like that. And I think just having experienced that myself has helped me recognize it in others. And I'm also very fortunate. I work with some fantastic women, really, really fantastic women. And we have had, some long chats together, some tears together, talking about how we really feel and what's really going on. And that has helped.
Definitely. I think there's been a lot more of that, hasn't there? The whole sort of empathetic, and we talked about it last year, the whole empathetic leadership, coming through as well, and people being much more empathetic about, how people are feeling, and being invited into people's houses and having that kind of, that ability to have those conversations. Interesting. I had a chat to a friend the other day, and she was saying when she was growing up, she was always told that you can have it all, as a young girl, you can have it all, but not that she'd have to do it all. Yeah. And I love this. I just love this sort of quote. And I wondered, just can you tell me a little bit how you manage domestic responsibilities at home? Because I think this is something that challenges a lot of women, whether you're with a partner or not. How do you split that whole mental load?
It's such a good question. It's interesting you said, how do we split the mental load? Because I'm not sure we do split the mental load.
How do you split the load, maybe?
My husband, I am very lucky. My husband is fantastic and does lots of things around the house. In fact, just before we started this recording, he arrived with a laundry basket of washing that is folded, ready to be put away. Aww. So I don't think there's that many husbands that are doing that.
Mine does.
But it's interesting because my mum often says to me, oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, am I? Or is it just what he should be doing, right? But anyway, so I am very fortunate. However, I find that the mental load is what is the challenging thing. And I have been known in this lockdown to say to my husband, who said, just tell me what you need me to do. I was like, that's exactly the point. I want to be the one that receives the list, and then I can just do those things. Mm. And I think we're just wired, having had many chats with friends about this, I think we're just wired differently. I think we're wired to do all the thinking, but that is the piece that's exhausting. And I remember when I had Leo, my mum saying to me, never criticize anything. If the baby goes on the wrong way, or the nappy is back to front, it doesn't matter, the baby will not die. And don't criticize, let it just be what it is. Because if you go around fixing everything, that is going to become your role. And I think that was pretty sound advice. I'm not always good at it, but it was pretty sound advice. Yeah. And so we do a lot of talking about those things. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of talking and he does a lot of silent nodding. But
we had a chat last week, actually, and we were trying, because I had exactly my head was just so full of stuff. And I just said to my husband, who's also called Andrew, I just can't fit anything else in my head. I'm literally about to explode. I had a headache as well. So physically I had a headache, and I just thought, I've got to get this out. We've got to share this a bit more, because I just said, I can't do this. And he also manages all the football stuff for my daughter, and he does it, you know, the whole kind of beginning to end thing. So he actually manages the whole process of that, which is brilliant. And I don't have to even think about that. And he then, you know, very kindly offered to pick up the food and actually thinking about what food we need for the week, which is brilliant. Cause it's just like, actually, that's one thing I can now just take off my list. And I think that for me is, I think if there's any advice for any, you know, any of our listeners, it's actually don't just delegate one bit of a job. Try and collectively, you know, group something together that you can hand over as a, like you would at work. If you were at work and you were doing that, you know.
I actually went to a great talk on International Women's Day or around that time. And the lady was talking about having a set of cards that you write down all the jobs on. So the washing, but as you say, it's end to end washing, putting away all of that, the shopping, so on and so forth. And then there's, I don't know, you end up with 50 cards, say.
Yeah.
You split those, and so you have 25 cards each, and you can swap. You can swap cards, but you can't give, you can't end up with more than 25 cards. So I might want to swap, for example, putting the bins out with doing the weekly Ocado shop, right? And then we switch the cards, but we've all both got 25, which I just thought was a fantastic, practical thing to do. And we haven't actually done the whole 50 cards, but it did lead to a really good conversation around what are all the things and how do we split those. So we're also doing things that we, because I quite like emptying the laundry bin. Like I have got this weird sense of satisfaction when I see an empty laundry bin.
Put it into the washing machine, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, but I don't like putting it away the other
way. I like doing the piles. That's really good. I like doing the piles. I like putting the washing machine. I don't want to put it away.
No, I don't either.
So that was actually an example where we were like, well, we're not going to do end-to-end. I'll do that bit. I'll do the piles. I'll put it in the washing machine, but I don't want to do the putting away piece.
I've got a cleaner who puts my washing away for me because I'm just like, I really can't bear that.
That's brilliant. That is a great idea. But a very practical, you know, this card idea, I think, is a really practical way of thinking about how you split things.
It's a really good idea. I'm going to try that. I hope you're enjoying the conversation so far. I just want to take a moment to tell you a little bit more about the free energy tracker that our sponsor is offering you today. If, like me, you sometimes find it hard to keep up with life and work, it doesn't mean you have to keep your head down and work even harder. Karen Skidmore and her team are on a mission to empower businesswomen to create a new rhythm and flow to their professional lives in order to fulfil their potential and increase their level of impact. To help redefine your work patterns, the free energy tracker will help you experience the cycles that affect your flow and how your hormones and the seasons will contribute to your productivity levels throughout the year. You can access this free energy tracker today over at karenskidmore.com/theconfidenceconversation. Let's talk a little bit about your move to the US. So you were just explaining to me that you've got a job in California and that your husband's actually going to take some time out and, you know, be more of a house husband. Tell me a bit about that, you know, how that's going to work for you or how you hope it's going to work for you.
Yeah. So we've been very fortunate to be offered the opportunity to go to California, and we're moving there in 5 weeks, 5 weeks today, in fact. And it's something, so I've lived abroad before, but it was before I was a mother. So obviously quite different. And we've talked about this concept of, would we go on that kind of adventure? And when it came up, it was, I can tell you, it was the first week of December, dark and raining outside. And somebody phoned me and said, how do you feel about California? So like, yes, we should definitely do that. We'd be crazy not to. But it led to some really good conversations about how are we going to do that? How is that really going to work when we're trying to integrate ourselves, but also integrate a small human into a whole new life, moving him from one side of the world almost to the other, right? It's an eight-hour time difference in California. And what we've decided to do is Andrew is actually going to take the assignment is 3 years. So the plan at the minute is that Andrew takes those 3 years and doesn't work. Now we'll see how that pans out, but definitely what we've agreed is the first year he won't work so that he can be there to make sure that Leo is at school when he needs to be, can get to after school clubs. We don't have to think about the wraparound care because we're very fortunate that we live quite close to family and we've got a really fantastic support network here through the school. And we do a lot of, well, pre-COVID times, we did a lot of shared lifts and things like that. And so Andrew will move to become primary caregiver whilst I work. So that's the practical side. I can tell you already, I'm already worried about how I'm going to feel about that.
How does he feel about it?
He's quite excited. So he's excited by this. Well, I think what he's excited about is the golfing. So in his head, he'll be off golfing when Leo's at school.
I love it.
And you know, there's a reality of it might be a bit lonely. Are there other dads that I can hang out with? So those sorts of things, those sorts of thoughts are now kind of bubbling to the surface. Mm-hmm. And for me, the thought bubbling to the surface, which is, you know, maybe where my own worst enemy is, am I going to be okay with that? Yeah. I'm going to hand the reins of all that childcare stuff properly to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And although I, you know, suffer with mental load and things like that, as we all do, I enjoy it. I enjoy being the one that puts Leo to bed every night. I enjoy being the one that is organized about what's coming in the week ahead, getting the bags ready and all of those things, even if I protest every now and then. and I'm worried about that changing our relationship. So there's quite a lot of emotion, as you can imagine, in our house.
Well, I can't wait to see it all unfold, and I'll talk to you again in a year's time and see how the whole move has gone. Really exciting. Brilliant. So let's talk a little bit about, obviously, you're in HR, so it'd be great to chat a little bit about advice for our listeners from an HR perspective. As you know, sort of one of the biggest challenges we've faced in the last year has been about blurred boundaries between personal and professional life. How have you managed that in terms of, you know, being able to switch off and, yeah, maybe find things for yourself? You know, when you're working at home, there's a lot that you just can't switch off. And I'd just love to know from your perspective, you know, how's that been for you? And what's your advice how to manage that?
Yeah, as I said at the beginning, I got better at it over time. I think that the key thing here is boundaries. And I know it's true that not just in this last kind of crazy 12 to 18 months that we've had, but all through my life, when things are hitting breaking point, it's because I broke the boundary, not somebody else. And what I found in the pandemic, took me about 5 or 6 months getting to the exhaustion point before I realized, really, is that those boundaries were even more important. And so we were very disciplined about having breaks in the day. So when Leo's lunchtime was on, having that break so that we could play in the garden together, making sure that we had family dinner together. But I found myself, I've set my computer, we're fortunate enough to have a spare room, so I've set up my office in the spare bedroom upstairs. And I am ashamed of it to say that I found that I was, when Leo was in the bath, instead of sitting in there with him, chatting to him about his day, I would just do a few quick emails, and then I put him to bed, and on the way downstairs, I'd just stop and do a few quick emails. And it just became untenable. Like, as I said, I was working crazy. I'm not sure I needed to, but I was just this constant on, and the laptop was always there.
Was that because you felt guilty because you were taking time out during the day, you know, spending a bit more time with Leo, do you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, I hope that when we look back and once the dust settles, the enduring memories will be a daily walk, and we'll be treasure hunts, and we'll be baking together. But in between all those photographs are moments of tearing my hair out, crying from mostly me and Leo at least. And it just got to the point where I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. And actually, it coincided with us bringing in a time initiative in PepsiCo, which we can talk about. But what that got to is, look, we're going to have every single lunchtime. We're going to take that 12 to 1, no, absolutely no meetings. Now, Leo went back to school as well, of course, at some point. But I kept that 12 to 1 just to take myself out for a walk and get some fresh air, or just be away from the screen. And I think that, you know, I was constantly, I guess, like most people, I was like eating breakfast on meetings, I was eating lunch on meetings. At some point, Andrew was leaving dinner outside the door, carrying on eating in meetings. My waistline wasn't loving it, to be honest. So look, I think all of that to say, what I have learned and my advice to other people is be clear on the boundaries, and you cannot pour from an empty cup. Cannot. In pre-pandemic, we would have been commuting. You don't need to use that time to work. You need to take that time to take care of yourself. So we, at some point, I was doing a walk around the block as my commute to work. I never walked to work. I mean, I live 16 miles away from work, right? So I wasn't walking, but I used that time to just do a walk. At the end of the day, I closed my laptop down and I put it in a drawer so I can't see it anymore. So it's not looking at me as I walk past from, you know, putting Leo to bed. And so whatever your setup is at home, I mean, some people have, you know, a separate room that they can shut the door on. Great. But even if you're still working at your kitchen table, I think closing your laptop and putting it away every day is just really helpful for it to be out of sight. And I think the other thing is contract's hard, right? I mean, I spent a lot of time contracting, not just with my boss, but also with my team, about what did they need? Because we all need different things. And I'm talking about it as a mother, but of course we've got other women, other people in the workplace who are living by themselves during this time. And that was, just as hard, if not harder, I think. I'm not sure I would have changed my chaos to kind of be by myself all that time. So talking about what we need, and we have that commitment in our HR leadership team, is we're not rescuing anyone. So it's for us to say, I'm feeling X, and what I need is why. Mm-hmm. And when we hear what somebody needs, we do everything in our power to give it to them. Yeah. And that's definitely been enabling for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. That sort of, I always talk about my tank of petrol. You know, if you don't know, and you need to think about what you actually do need to fill that tank up. When I was saying the other day to my husband, I said, what I really, really need is one night away a month. I was like, I just want to escape for a month away from everybody and the dog. Yes. So I just want to get away for one night, even just go and stay with my mum for a night, you know, just something that can just change the scene. Because you're just, you know, I'm working at home, I'm doing all the kind of, you know, all the domestic chores and all that kind of stuff, and I just feel like I can't escape, especially, you know, during this lockdown time. It's really, really hard. So that's, yeah, really think, you know, think about, I haven't managed it yet, but it's nice to sort of have that in the
have a goal.
Escape goal, yeah. So I know we talked a little bit last year about PepsiCo changing meeting disciplines, and I'd love to sort of hear how that went. So that was about how obviously people are on Zoom all day, and this is more of an organizational thing, but I love the idea that you tried to sort of change the standard meetings from an hour to, was it 45 minutes and then half an hour to 20
minutes? Yeah, we did.
How did that work?
So we got, we had a lot of feedback from teams that it was just, I mean, we have quite a big meeting culture anyway. And it got worse because here's the thing with Zoom. I mean, it's a good thing as well, but it's a double-edged sword. You're not limited by the amount of seats in a meeting room. And we're quite an inclusive culture. So we were kind of inviting all sorts of people into meetings. And then once you're invited, you don't feel like you can say no. So you end up going to all these meetings, running your day, you know, a day that might have been 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever, suddenly becomes 7 till 7. And actually, we were inspired by some work that our team in Spain had done, which was based on the book Deep Work, which is essentially about how do you restructure your day to do the things that are important and not get distracted by the small, urgent things. Mm. And we agreed as a UK exec, if we're going to change things, we need to set the tone and we need to agree things that we know are going to be hard. But we've got to set the boundaries. So we did 5 things. We said, look, we're not going to have meetings outside of 9 till 5. It's the first thing. We're not going, 12 to 1 is protected time every single day. So there's no meetings. Now, it's up to people what they decide to do in that time. If they want to phone a colleague and chat, that's up to them. But that won't be any meetings at that 12 to 1. And that has been our most popular one of the 5. Mm-hmm. We don't hold meetings on a Wednesday morning. So Wednesday 9 till 12, and then obviously you've got your lunch times, and 9 till 1 is meeting free time. We call it a deep think time. And then we've really looked also at how do we structure our meetings. So as you said, so the fourth element is the meeting length. So no, there's no more half an hour meetings. They've got to be 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or if they're hour long, then if they would have been hours, they should be 50 minutes. So that every meeting finishes at least 5 minutes to the hour, so that it's time to get up, go and get a cup of tea, have a comfort break, whatever it is you want to do. And then the fifth thing, which is also important, is about being in structure to the meeting. So we use POP, which is being clear on when you invite people, the purpose of the meeting, the outcomes you want, and the process you're going to take. Mm. So then people are going to look at that and say whether or not they can add value. Mm. We're saying being empowered then to say, actually, I can't add value to that. Or more frequently, there's no POP, I'm declining the meeting, right? Until we get to the structure. And look, it's fair to say, Joy, that it's a big change. It's a huge change for us. So when we've run 2 surveys now, and the latest one, 94% of people want to keep it. Mm-hmm. The thing that's easiest for people to implement and that they enjoy is this 12 to 1 time. Yeah. The thing that is difficult is changing the discipline around, do we need the meeting in the first place? Mm-hmm. The POP piece, and also protecting that Wednesday.
And I think having that POP thing just gives us sort of a code for talking about it rather than having a difficult conversation. Actually, if you've got this kind of code word, I think that's great. Yeah. It seems like it'd be a really sensible thing to do. Brilliant. Finally, it's been such an interesting conversation, and I'd love it if you could just give our listeners perhaps one top tip for juggling everything life throws at us. You know, what would that be for you?
Oh, goodness me. I am, actually, as you say, juggling, I think of the juggler story by Dyson. Mm. And for those that haven't heard it, is, you know, we're constantly juggling balls. And if you name those balls, one would be health, One would be family, one would be work, one would be leisure time. And here's the thing, the work ball is rubber. So if you drop it, it bounces, it recovers. Health and family, they're glass. So if you drop them, if they don't break, they're still going to be damaged. So I would say my biggest tip, and I'm trying really hard to live by this, is to do everything I can to wrap those health and family balls in bubble wrap and to keep my eye more on them than on the work ball, because we can all bounce back work wise, but we can't, and we've seen so many stories, right? We can't, we don't invest in our health. We can't buy it back later. Yeah. And same for family. So, I would say hold your boundaries and look after those balls.
I love that. And what a fantastic note to end on. Thank you so much, Danny, and all the best for your trip to California, and look forward to hearing all about the journey as it unfolds.
Thanks very much, Joy.
Thanks.
It's been a pleasure.
That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back again soon with another confidence conversation. If you know anyone who might find this podcast useful, please do pass on the link, and it would give me a real confidence boost if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. If you like what you've heard, join us at theconfidenceconversation.club, where I'll be sharing tips and notes from each episode, and you can send in your ideas for future topics. And remember, you can download a free, easy-to-follow energy tracker to help you see how your monthly cycle contributes to your productivity levels at karenskidmore.com/theconfidenceconversation. Thank you. And until next time, goodbye.